Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up. So let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Do you ever feel afraid? Even David, who was a brave warrior and a mighty king, felt afraid sometimes. You know what he did? Well, listen to what he wrote in the book of Psalms. Then you'll know what to do next time you feel afraid.
From Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust.
Promises to guide me.
is such a great way to praise the Lord. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
The Master requests us, just the 12 of us, to step aside from the crowd. He would talk to us.
Behold, we are going to Jerusalem, where the Son of God will be arrested and handed over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and then hand him over to the Gentiles. These will make fun of him, spit on him, whip him, and kill him. And after 3 days, he will be raised to life.
Master, my brother James and I, there's something we want you to do for us.
What would ye that I should do for you?
When you sit on your throne in the glorious kingdom, we want you to let us sit with you, one on your right and one at your left.
You know not what you are asking for. I do not have the right to choose who will sit at my right and my left. It is God who will give these places to those for whom he has prepared them. My beloved, whosoever of you who will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for the world.
Now in Jericho lived a blind man named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus.
It's terrible. More terrible than you can know to be blind.
Sin is a terrible thing, my son.
How do you know sin caused my blindness? I don't think it did, not directly anyway.
Be careful what you say, son, or some other great calamity will befall you.
How do you know blindness is a direct result of sin?
Everyone knows that.
Well, I don't.
You should. Everyone says so.
Everyone?
Everyone who counts. The elders, the keepers of the law, the priests, the local rulers, the Sanhedrin at Jerusalem. Even Caiaphas, the chief priest, says so.
Does that make it so?
Yes.
Do the scriptures say so?
You forget, my son, that what the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the council of the Sanhedrin, as approved by the high priest, say, is the law we must obey.
Regardless of what scripture says?
We've gone over this 1,000 times, son. It's useless to say any more.
I'm going to say one more thing. Then I'll take my place by the side of the city gate. The temple priests and those others you mention may be the keepers of the laws of Moses, but they did not make them. God himself did. And I believe God to be a just, merciful, and loving God, with compassion and sympathy for the evildoer as well as for the good. If this be true, then God has provided a way of salvation for those who have gone astray.
My son, remember what you have been taught, what the temple priests have
I don't care
taught.
What I've been taught or what all the priests and elders say. I care only what the scriptures and God say.
Alms for the blind. Alms for the blind.
Morning, Bartimaeus.
Good morning. Thank you, sir.
Alms for the blind. Alms for the blind.
There's some sort of commotion over there.
Alms for the blind.
Sounds like a crowd's gathering or coming through the gate.
Alms. Alms for the blind. Alms for...
Pardon me, sir, but can you tell me what the commotion is?
Oh, it's a crowd following Jesus, as they always do.
Jesus? He can make me see again.
Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me.
Oh, no need to yell. He's too busy to pay any attention to the likes of you.
Yes, stop yelling. You only make a disturbance.
Jesus, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me.
Stop that yelling.
It won't do any good anyway. Do you not know that Jesus is the most popular man in all Judea right now? Crowds continually follow him wherever he goes.
Are you he who was calling for Jesus?
Yes, I am.
Be of good comfort. Jesus calleth thee. I will lead you to him.
Art thou he who called unto me?
Yes, Lord. Help me. Have mercy upon me.
What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?
Lord, make me to see again.
Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
I can see. I thank thee, Lord.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. I'm singing, yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me. Na 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 na.
Live with Sam. I'm Sam. Today my guest is my sister Lily. She's very excited about being on my show.
Is this gonna take long?
I've got a question for you, Lily.
Will you still give me the dollar if I get it wrong?
What do you eat for a healthy snack?
Apples and sometimes grapes.
Why not candy or soda pop? That's what your friends eat.
If that's what they want to do, that's fine. But I want to be healthy, and candy and soda pop don't make you healthy. They make you sick.
How do eating apples and grapes make you healthy?
I don't know. I just like the taste.
Is it because of all that nice fiber in them?
Yeah, sure. Fiber.
And all those cancer-fighting antioxidants? Is that why you eat them?
Anti-what?
And I'll just bet that you love the taste of all that natural sugar instead of the refined sugar, right?
You know me. Natural all the way.
And did you know that your body likes fruits much more than candy? Your blood sugar doesn't shoot way up, and your energy lasts a lot longer.
Sam, I have no idea what you're talking about. I just like fruits better than candy. They taste good, look good, and don't rot my teeth.
There you have it, folks. Fruits win every time. Thank you, Lily.
Haven't you forgotten something?
What?
My dollar?
Oh, yes, here. and I want to thank... This is Sam on Live with Sam. Goodbye.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
The best part of heaven might well be the praise or the honors bestowed at the end of the race. The best part of heaven will be mercy and grace that we'll know when we see Jesus face to face. Singing Alleluia, I will worship you. Alleluia, the Christ is King. The best part of heaven might well be for me, knowing God will remake my soul and my body. The best part of heaven will be waking from sleep with no tears and no pain for eternity.
is why Jesus said,
wherever this gospel is preached, tell what she's done.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Marcia's Magic Violin by Fanny A. Smith. It isn't much fun to practice, Marcia said as she put her violin in its case. What good does it do anyway? No one cares to listen to me playing. The other children are running around having a good time outside, and I have to come in after school every day and just practice. Marcia didn't realize that she was talking out loud. Mother came in just then and said, "Are you through practicing for today, dear? You really are getting your piece well. How much can you play by memory now?" "I played it all today several times and some yesterday. Do you think I'll have it for the recital, Mother? It's only a little over 3 weeks away." "Oh, yes, it sounded very good today. Much improved." Marcia felt better after that and said, "You'll help me when you can, won't you? I want it perfect." "Yes, of course. We'll begin really working on it tomorrow. It is the prettiest piece you've had, and I enjoy accompanying you on the piano. Now you may rest until supper time, or go out and play with the children." Marcia ran happily across the street to play with Dorothy, her best friend, who was trying out her new croquet set. School and practicing kept Marcia busy all the next week. Soon, it was lesson day again, and that meant a trip to Hollywood to her teacher's studio. Mr. Curtis, the teacher, had telephoned to say that a crew was working on one of the main roads near Hollywood, and there would be several miles of detour. Knowing this, Mother and Marcia started early and hoped they would reach the studio on time. When they came to the detour, they saw that there was a bad traffic jam. Working people were going home at that hour, and as Marcia and her mother drove along, the jam got worse and worse. Sometimes they didn't move for 10 minutes or so, and then only a very little bit. Nearly everyone was getting irritable and impatient. Horns honked all around them, on left and right, in front and back. The noise only made the situation more stressful. Mother said, "If they would only be more patient, it would be so much better." "Mother," Marcia said thoughtfully, "haven't I heard somewhere that there's magic in music and that sometimes it calms people when they're angry and upset?" "Yes, I've heard that too, and I believe it does," Mother replied. Marcia was all excited. She had just thought of something. "Do you suppose there could be any magic in my violin if I played something? Do you think anyone would listen? Shall I try it? What shall I play?" While she was taking the violin out of the case and waiting for the next stopping place, she said, "I believe I can play all of the mazurka by memory now, and it would give me good practice for the recital. Do you think I dare?" "Yes, dear, it would be very nice if you did. Forget yourself and think only of your violin and how pleased the people will be. We can ask the Lord to help us when we're doing something that will help others and please Him." Marcia always had a hard time playing in public and felt shaky and scared, but she tuned her violin carefully, and when there was another stop in the traffic, Mother opened the door. Marcia stepped out beside the car. She had just room enough to stand and draw her bow across the strings. All was noise and confusion, but she began her piece with long, sweeping bows as her teacher had taught her. Windows and car doors opened wide, and people leaned out as far as they could. Frowns turned to smiles. The girl's nimble fingers flew. Sometimes her bow was bouncing, and her long blonde curls bounced, too. Her lips were slightly parted in a smile, and her eyes and cheeks were all aglow with excitement. She made a charming picture. She felt glad now that she had practiced her scales, and the different kinds of bowing seemed easy. It was fun, now that she could do it right. She played as she had never played before. The happy faces all around her were thanks enough. When she finished, there was a hearty burst of applause from the cars around her. The people clapped and waved and called, "Thank you, thank you!" She smiled and bowed and waved back. They were still waving and smiling as they turned off the detour onto the highway again. "Oh," Marcia said breathlessly, "that was fun, Mother, and I wasn't a bit scared. I believe they liked it, and it wasn't hard at all. I'm glad I practiced it, so it's easy now." In the years that followed, Marcia became a good violinist and was glad she had practiced when she was young. She found that people loved to hear her play, especially at programs at church, school, and rest homes. She remembered her teacher's advice to forget herself and use her talent to bring pleasure to others. And she never forgot the time when, at the age of 11, she played for a large and appreciative audience on the detour road to Hollywood.
The story you have heard today is from Guide's Greatest Stories, written by various authors and compiled by Randy Fischel, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.